So we are continuing in our sermon series on the book of John. We will be in John 1 again this morning, towards the middle of that. If you would like to turn there, I would encourage you, if you've got a Bible, to do that. If you have a device with your Bible on it, that would work as well. Pardon me. You know, I choose the names for my sermons and choose the material several months in advance. And this one is no different. I was sitting down looking at the book of John, working through the book of something's making noise over here. Sorry. I thought maybe Tracy's guitar was on fire. Weird crackling sound. Glad it's not his guitar. So, anyway. Maybe a long morning. Anyway, I choose the sermon titles. I choose the material. And sometimes those sermon titles, you can ask Tracy if he pays any attention, they get changed. Other times, like this morning's, they just seem to hit. They seem to mesh with what's going on in my life, what's going on in other situations. And this morning's was definitely one of those where it just kind of meshed. Because this past week, I took Landon out to visit his grandma and grandpa so that he could go turkey hunting. Fortunately, we gave him blanks, so he couldn't. Don't tell him. No, not really. But anyway, we took him out to go turkey hunting with his grandparents. And if you've ever driven down the road, you know, there are certain stretches, especially where you see a lot of signs. You see a lot of signposts. And signs, well, they're used for a lot of different things. We use them in some places, we use them to tell how small or large the town that you're getting ready to enter is. Some places, they just tell you how high up in the air you are. Some of them tell you how far it is to the next town. Other signs are used to tell you about attractions that you're going to see or could stop and see along the way. Some of them tell you about dangers that you could experience. And then there are not the signs, but then there are the billboards. The billboards that are there to get your attention and to tell you something. Burma Shave, anyone? I don't remember Burma Shave ads, but I've seen them in books and I've read about them. But I have seen other ones. In fact, I was just kind of talking to Michelle as she came in this morning. She was talking about Little America out in Wyoming. And I remember driving through Wyoming many times as a kid, and that Little America signs, boom, boom, it's coming. You know, or you go to well, now I lost it, so I'm not even going to try anymore. somewhere out in the middle of South Dakota, but with their 5-cent coffee. Waldron, thank you. Somebody knew what I was talking about. When I said 5-cent coffee, it gave it away. You know, you go for states, there are these signs, Waldron, however many miles, and back roads in the middle of Iowa one day, I saw Waldron. I'm like, what? That doesn't belong there. But they tell something about what is coming up. The Gospel's messages are clear, and if you've read them, you know that the message of the Gospel is if you have seen and heard, you are to tell. So in Matthew's Gospel, you come to the end of Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 through 20, you get what we call the Great Commission. Mark ends his Gospel more than likely with Jesus simply telling the women to go and tell the other disciples. In Luke, Jesus calls his disciples witnesses in chapter 24, verse 48. And then later in the second half of his writing, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus again tells his disciples they are to be his witnesses. In John, the idea of being a witness permeates the whole gospel. The concept permeates everything that John writes from chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, until you come to chapter 21 and Jesus telling Peter to feed my sheep. The idea of being a witness is undeniable. And if you read through the Gospel of John, you find that he includes several people whose job it is to be a witness. In fact, a section that we are not going to look at, the part that follows from 35 through 51 of chapter 1, there are several different people who are witnesses. They hear and they see and they go and they tell. You look at chapter 1, verses 14 through 18, like we did last week. We said some of those witnesses are the 11 disciples, probably Paul and many others, including John the evangelist, John the one who writes the Gospels. And we see how important it is to be a witness. As John shows us several witnesses witnessing to what they have witnessed. Don't ask me to repeat that. This morning, we're going to look at the signpost. The signpost that stands at the beginning of the Gospel of John. John, the witness. So we're going to begin at John chapter 1, verse 19, and I forgot my clicker this morning. I about forgot my everything, so. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 19, this is what John writes. He says, "Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but freely confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' They asked him then, 'Who are you? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' He answered, 'No.' Finally, they said, 'Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, 'I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord.' Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, 'Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?' 'I baptize with water,' John replied, 'but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie.' This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man comes after me, has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel.' Then John gave this testimony: 'I saw the Spirit come down out of heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen And I testify that this is the Son of God. As we read these words, one of the things that we're supposed to understand is that signs are an important part of our lives. And here's what John teaches us about the signs leading up to the ministry of Jesus. And it begins with the signpost. It begins with the sign that is present. And if you know anything about signs, there is a purpose for signs, and that is to catch your attention. To catch your attention, to draw your attention to something so that your mental focus is poised to hear, to see, to understand what is coming or what is available. And I just was thinking, even before we left this last week, about the number of different signs along the side of the highway. The signs for different things, and I was just thinking about a few. And there are some that just stick in your mind. You can imagine, you're driving down the highway, you see a sign for something, and you remember it. You pay attention. You didn't want to. I did not have the intent of driving down the road from here to Southwest Missouri and thinking, you know what? I'm going to remember a billboard for a candy factory. I am not going to think about remembering to, you know, I wasn't intending to look for signs that told me about 58 different kinds of knives that you can buy at some outlet spot in Lebanon, Missouri. At least 5. You know, that's close to 58, right? Yeah, I was not thinking about any of those signs. I wasn't thinking about calling Dusty until Dusty said I could call him and rent a billboard. But he told me I could. And I don't need a billboard, but it stuck in my mind. Well, here's the thing, though. Billboards, they catch your attention with the purpose of getting you to do something. Whether it is to stop and buy a knife that you don't need, stop and buy some extra candy to chew on for the rest of the trip, rent a billboard, call a lawyer, visit a cavern, go tubing, whatever. Stop and buy your trinkets at the gift shop at some place. But John is a lot like a billboard. He's a lot like a sign. Now, John, the evangelist, doesn't tell us a lot about John the Witness. We only know about John the Witness because John says he came on the scene. You read the other Gospels, you read Matthew and Mark and Luke, and when they talk about John the Baptist, they talk about this crazy guy who lived out in the middle of the wilderness eating locusts and honey. You know, if you can't stand the taste of something here, Bill Cosby once said, all you do is you dip it in ketchup. Evidently, John the Baptist decided you couldn't stand the taste of the food, you dip it in honey. But that's another story. But John was dressed in these wild garments, the other gospel writer says. But John says this. John says it was the actions of, or John the evangelist says it was the actions of John the Witness that drew attention to him. It was what he was doing. It was what he was saying. It was the fact that John had set up shop on the other side of the Jordan River from Jerusalem and was in the process of doing something. And much the way that a billboard or a sign tells us something, John tells us that the witness, John, was telling the people something. And again, he doesn't completely spell out what the message is. The other gospel writers tell us about the message that John is speaking, but you know, a billboard on the side of the road, why does it get your attention? Because it says something. It's trying to get you to do something, and John is out in the desert, and he's preaching this message. The other gospel writers tell us it was a message of repentance. He's taking the prophetic message from the Old Testament, and he's simply telling the people of Israel again, look, you're not doing things right, and God is going to bring judgment soon if y'all don't shape up and change the way you're doing things. And John is preaching this message, and people are storming to hear him. In fact, you read the way the other gospel writers tell it, and it's probably kind of like Mike going and seeing Led Zeppelin. They're the hottest tickets around, and if you get the good seats, you know that somebody really wanted to see them. People wanted to see John. They wanted to hear him, and so they were going out, not just making a small trek to the other side of Decatur, but kind of like Mike going up to Canada to hear Led Zeppelin. You went a ways. These people were going out from Jerusalem and out across the Jordan River and out into the desert regions. They're probably making a day or more trip one direction to hear John. And John is preaching this message that's getting people's attention, and then he is doing things. Well, he's baptizing them. And if you go back and you study the Old Testament, you find that there were times when the Israelites were called to go and to baptize, but themselves. They were called to immerse, to wash themselves. There were other times when somebody would do something and a sense or a way of doing the same thing was called for, but it was almost always. You read through the Old Testament, it was almost always because of contamination, a disease, an illness. You had been part of a military campaign and you had shed blood. You had been in the house when somebody died. You were a part of certain activities, and at the end of the day, you needed to wash yourself. You needed to remove the ceremonial uncleanliness as well as the physical uncleanliness. And so you were told to go to the water and to baptize yourself, to take a bath. But John's baptism follows the baptism that was, well, it was the responsibility of the priests and the Levites. It was their responsibility to tell people when they needed to go and to be clean, to be cleansed. And they were supposed to be pushing people in that direction. And John is out there in the desert basically saying, look, the priests and the Levites aren't doing their job, so I am going to call you back to God. And to come back to God, you need to make this commitment and to cleanse yourself. And he was pointing to something. He was pointing the people in the direction of something, kind of like many of the signs that you see on the highway. Signs that give you directions. You know, those big ones that you're supposed to pay attention to over the top of the interstate so that you don't end up going the wrong direction for a long time. Never happens to me, right, Landon? I needed to read one extra sign the other day. I missed it. But you read the signs because they give you directions. They tell you where to go. You get other signs that they tell you about the attractions. They're hoping that as you're passing through, you're paying attention to those signs so that you will stop and spend some of your hard-earned money to enjoy the local fair. And there are times that I'm sure that works on all of us, and there are probably a lot of times we just speed right on by them. And then there are signs that we see for the necessities. You know, the ones that come up just before the exit off of the interstates that say food and gas and lodging. And they tell you what is coming up so that if you have these necessities, you can take advantage of them. And John's baptism, John's ministry, is a little bit like those different signs. He's telling the people about what they're doing wrong. He's telling the people what they need to do. And he's telling the people how to do it. He is the sign that, well, as he says, no, I'm not the Messiah. No, I'm not the prophet. I am simply the one who is preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. He says, this is what is about to happen. And see, that brings me to the second thing that I see about here is you've got the signs, and then you have what is signified. What do the signs stand for? And just like some of those signs on the side of the interstate, you don't know exactly what is there until you get there. You know, have you ever gone to see something? You saw a sign for something, a billboard for something, and you thought, hey, we'll just stop. Got a few minutes, we'll stop and see what it's all about. And you get there, and they talk about these big bucking broncos, and you get there, and there's a spring-loaded horse. You're disappointed, but you didn't know that until you got there. You get to somewhere, and you say, hey, this wasn't half of what I thought it was going to be. This is unbelievable that they would try to pass this off as something great. Or on the other hand, sometimes you get somewhere and you say, man, yeah, the sign told me I'd see some things, but this is unbelievable. This is really amazing. And John tells us, John the evangelist says, look, I know what my mission is. My mission is to stand out here and to proclaim the truth of God until God tells me I can do otherwise. And so John was out in the desert preaching. And when the scribes and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and the people from Jerusalem, from the establishment, from the temple, and the leaders of the people in Jerusalem come out to ask John the questions, John says, look, I am not what you're looking for. I am not who you're looking for. In fact, I'm not sure who I am looking for, who you're looking for. I don't know who they are. I just know that eventually, I will tell you, I will reveal them to you because that's what God told me I would do. And so John is out baptizing in the Jordan River, and suddenly Jesus comes along, and John baptizes Jesus, and one day John knew Jesus as his cousin, and the next day he knew him as the Messiah. One day John simply knew Jesus as another person like you and me, and the next minute he realized that this was the promised one of God. And so John is out there baptizing, and suddenly John sees Jesus, and he makes one of the greatest statements that we read. Because John sees Jesus coming and he says, behold, look, see, pay attention. Yeah, John is the billboard up in the sky in big letters trying to get your attention about what is coming, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John somehow from God received the message that when the Messiah came, he would know. And he says this dove came down and rested upon him. And at that moment, I came to the understanding of who Jesus was. I didn't recognize him. I didn't know him as the Messiah until God sent his Spirit upon him. And in that moment, the one who John probably never would have expected became what everybody was longing for. I don't think that Jesus was who John the Baptist was waiting for. I think it's kind of like this. You never want to admit how smart somebody in your family is, or how good somebody in your family is, because you always think, well, that says less about me. And John the Baptist, well, I'm sure, if he knew Jesus growing up, thought, yeah, he's a pretty good guy, but never once would it have crossed his mind. And that's what he says. He says, I didn't know him. John isn't saying that I never met Jesus. He's saying simply, I did not realize he was the Messiah. And then events transpired, and now I know that Jesus is the Messiah. And as the sign, John says, my job is to point him out to you. My job is to show him to you. And so John, who didn't expect Jesus to be the Messiah, turns to the ones who have been sent from Jerusalem, and he says to them, this probably isn't who you're going to expect the Messiah to be, but here he is. Let me introduce you to Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And it's important. It's important as we read through the Gospel of John, as we study through the Gospel of John, as we look at passages like this one, to remember that they didn't have the advantage of having the whole story before them. And so they were, for the first time, hearing that Jesus was the Messiah. And it's really important as we look through the gospel to see that and to understand that there are things that are being revealed for the first time to people. And there are a lot of unexpected twists and turns. And I think when Jesus came on the scene, the reason that John had to say things the way he did was so that people would understand, because it wasn't what they expected. In fact, if you read the next few verses, you find that one of Jesus' very early disciples asks the question, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" In other words, he wasn't expecting that Jesus could be the Messiah, because guess what? He came from Nazareth, and nothing comes from that hick little town. Nothing good can come out of Nazareth. But Jesus, John says, I like this, because John reiterates things that the evangelist and John, the witness, have already said, and he reiterates the fact that Jesus is pre-existent. He says, "The one who is coming after me is greater than I am, because he existed before I did." In a culture where age is often assumed to give you priority, John was saying, he's older than I am, but I don't measure up to him. And John is actually, if you read through everything he says, he's pointing back to what John the evangelist writes in John chapter 1, verse 1, when he says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John the Witness is saying Jesus existed not only before I did, but before everything. And he points to Jesus and he says, he is greater than I am. And he says that Jesus is also the one who will baptize with the Spirit of God. Now we read that, and to us that simply says, oh, God is going to pour out his Spirit. God's going to bring good things. But to them, for hearing that God was going to pour out his Spirit was both a blessing and a warning. It was a promise of the blessing of what God was going to do, but it was also a promise that God was bringing judgment. And the message of John the Witness is a message like all the prophets who'd gone before him. Things aren't going right. God's about to act. Get your act straightened out or else. And John says the or else comes in the form of Jesus the Messiah. What God is about to do is coming in the form of Jesus the Messiah. He is the one that the sign pointed to. You see, all the signs pointed to Jesus. John's ministry was a sign that was pointing to Jesus. John the evangelist uses John the Witness's witness at this point to say what the message of the gospel is about. It's about Jesus, the unexpected Messiah, doing unexpected things for people. We like the group who came to ask John who what he was, are called by John the evangelist to ask, who is Jesus? There are answers that people try to give today. They try to claim that Jesus is a good teacher, that he was a great moral example, that he was a prophet, or he was just a fool who died for nothing. But the question is, did he live up to the signposts or not? Did he live up to what John the witness said about him? And if we believe that Jesus lived up to what John the witness tells us or tells the religious leaders, then it is a message that must change everything about us. If he wasn't, if he was just kind of like that bucking bronco, that a little horse on a spring, then we shouldn't bother with him at all. But you see, John the evangelist wants us to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And when we believe that we are called to be signs to point others to Jesus. And I thought about one other sign as I was going through this. And that's, you come into a little town somewhere, and there's a sign at the edge of the road, and it says, so-and-so lived here and did this great thing. And that sign is not pointing to the town. It's not pointing to what is to come, but it's pointing backwards to what has come or what has been. And you and I are called to be signs. Signs that point back to the cross, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, and new life through his Son. Let's stand and proclaim that message boldly everywhere we go. And let's do that now as we stand and sing this last song together.